This is the day the Lord has made. Thank you for joining us in worship today. We praise God for you and however you're listening. We pray the message you receive will allow you to strengthen your relationship in Christ and build his kingdom as we seek God, shape lives, and serve the world.
Hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. Just take time to say, Lord, I love you. Lord, I love you. Lord, I love you. Woo! He's the center of our joy. If you have joy, he is the center. You can have happiness based on what's happening. But joy comes from Jesus. What a mighty God we serve. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verses 1 and 2, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2 for our message for today. 2 Corinthians 6, 1 and 2. We're reading from ESV. Hallelujah. Thank you to our musical aggregation. Thank you so much. God bless you. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2 states, working together with him, then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in a favorable time, I listened to you. And in the day of salvation, I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Our subject today, working together in him, the gain is worth the pain. The gain is worth the pain. Just before prayer and preaching, I want to remind us that Savannah Silhouette Chapel, just thank you for getting this, is hosting the diaper drive, and the deadline is today. So you can make monetary donations. See Sister Joy McDonald after worship downstairs. All proceeds will benefit Shelter from the Rain. My mind is on the pain. Shelter from the Rain, an organization that helps single mothers with necessities after giving birth and while caring for their children. So at first half, let's respond to that. If we didn't bring anything to put in that today, let's give a monetary contribution. Working together with him, then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in a favorable time I listened to you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. I'm saying, working together with him, the gain is worth the pain. Let us pray. God, speak to us, your servants, that as you speak, we will listen. Then as we listen, we will hear. Then as we hear, we will act. We will do what you call us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. The gain is worth the pain. This is National Women's History Month. We've heard about the history of the national event this month. We have noticed and noted a few of the accomplishments of women this morning. But it's my understanding that women's greatest gain has also been their greatest pain. Childbirth. That's one thing that we men can't say, I know how you feel. Because we don't. Many women have said it's a pain that's indescribable. Natural childbirth. They've said that the pain that they go through in childbirth is such a great pain. Have you ever noticed in life that anything worth gaining requires some paining? In this world, we have to work for what we really desire. If you really want something special, you have to do something special to get it. Doing God's will might bring us some pain, but the gain is well worth the pain. It's God's will that none should perish. But we truly haven't gone through any real pain to accomplish his will. Have we? How much pain have you experienced? And how much have you gone out of your way that the lost might come to Christ? How much pain have you experienced in leading someone to the Lord? If natural childbirth is painful, how much more painful is spiritual childbirth? Knowing we want to please God as we move forward toward excellence in kingdom building, let's look at what we must go through to realize the gain is worth the pain. First, we have to push. 2 Corinthians 6 and 2. For he says, in a favorable time I listened to you. In the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. There comes a time in childbirth when the mother is told that they have to push. But it's when the doctor says push. You learn breathing techniques I went to class and I did this. It was almost 40 years ago. So there may be some new techniques and they don't teach you how to breathe now. But back then they taught you how to do breaths. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. They taught you how to breathe as you were getting ready and leading up to the time when the doctor is going to tell the mother to push. That instruction came out, push. And I believe they still tell mothers to push. Because I get to see on television sometime on Grey's Anatomy and other places, they say, push. I believe many of us in the church have been waiting on the doctor to tell us to push. The doctor is speaking to you today through his messenger. It's time for the church to push. 2 Corinthians 6 and 2 says, for he says, in a favorable time, I listened to you, and in the day of salvation, I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the day of salvation. Yeah, you can type this online. It's time to push. Yeah, go ahead and tell somebody, it's time to push. What is Pastor talking about, time to push? What are you talking about? All right. It's an acronym. And the acronym for the church is this. Pray until salvation happens. Pray until salvation happens. Prayer is an act of faith. And faith is more than just believing. Faith is literally acting on what you believe. Oh, yeah, yeah. God is telling us that we have to push. We have to pray until salvation happens. And you said, okay, well, I'm praying. I'm praying that God would reach out and save the unsaved. I'm praying that God would reach out and get those who are just doing all kind of evil things in our society and in this world. I'm praying that God would move in such a way that everybody would have Jesus. But do you realize that when he tells us to pray, he also expects us to act? Jesus told his disciples, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. He said, pray that the Lord of the harvest will send laborers into the vineyard. Oh, notice that, laborers, how you be in labor. Yes, I was, send laborers into the vineyard. But then after he told them to pray, then he sent them into the harvest. Yes, yes, we can pray. We can pray until salvation happens, but as we're praying, we're allowing God to use us to make sure that his will can be done. We're letting him use us. We're praying and we're working. When we see a sin-sick world, pray, but then work to make the world better. Serve the world through mission and evangelism. God has given us a task to do, and our task is to work with others, that others can see our good works and give him glory. We have to pray. Yes, we pray until salvation happens. We pray that God will cause people to be saved. But we're also praying that God will use us so those who are not saved can be saved. The word is clear. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I can't figure out why it is that too many of us as Christians think that the way that we evangelize is by condemning folk. That makes no sense at all. Jesus came that they might have life and have it more abundantly. If people are not doing the things you think they ought to do or acting the way you think they ought to act, then help them to know Jesus. Be loving, be kind, be compassionate. Now, when I say we have to pray until salvation happens, when I say you have to do the work, let me give you point two. We have help. We don't just do this work alone. 2 Corinthians 6:1 again says, working together with him, then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. Working together with him. Who's the him? Yes, if we're missing who the him is, then we might not do any work. The him is our creator, our sustainer, the giver of life, our redeemer, our helper, our everything, the one who sits high and looks low. He's working together with him. We can get this work done. Natural childbirth, that's without, what's that called, epidural? Yeah, without that, no medication. I'm told that that's the most painful way to give birth. My wonderful and loving wife told me that she was going to do this. I went to all these classes, the mom's classes, because she was going to do this naturally without any drugs whatsoever. She said, that's how I'm going to do it. I said, okay, I'm here with you. I'm there ready to hold her hands and all this while I'm going through this. And she said, I believe you might need to take some pictures. Can you go to the car and get your camera? Can you go to your car? And I said, okay. So I went to the car. I came back. My wife was saying, slipping into darkness. I said, whoa, what's this? She would let me know, everybody else, I need some help. I need some help with this thing here today. I've been in labor for so long, and then this baby about to come, I need some help. And guess what? She had some help. With the assistance of doctors and nurses and medication, we made it through. Now I say we because I was there too. We made it through. But I'm sure she had the hard part. But even she says today, the gain was worth the pain. At least that's what she tells my daughters. Think about this. In winning the loss for Christ, we have help. We have the great physician. He has all the medicine. He has everything we need to make it through whatever pain we got to go through to cause others to come to know Christ. He will help us to reach the unreachable. He will help us to love the unlovable. He will help us to forgive the unforgivable. He will help us to go far beyond what we can imagine to transform this world into the world that he wants it to become. Again, in 2 Corinthians 6:1-2, it says, working together with him, then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in a favorable time, I listen to you, and in the day of salvation, I have helped you. Behold, now is a favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. The Lord says, in the day of salvation, I have helped you. We may not have known his help or may not have experienced his help because we weren't doing anything to require his help. The Lord ain't helped me do nothing. Could have been because we wasn't doing nothing. And we can't be afraid of the pain. We can't be afraid of going through what we have to go through. that those that don't know Christ can come to know Christ. We have to go beyond what we've been doing. We have to go in such a way. Every last one of us can cause other folk to come to know Christ. We are to persuade others to come to know Jesus. And we persuade them not by all of the words we say, use words, but we persuade them by the way we act and the way we love and the way we have concern and the way we give, the way we share. We persuade them just by them seeing us. But we know we have to push. We may not have known that he was there to help us, but he is. He's going to help us, and he's telling us we need him as we push. Lastly, what we gain is out of this world. When a child is born, regardless of the pain, the mother says, for this bundle of joy, it was worth it. I said, the mother says, once the bundle of joy gets here, it was worth it. Yeah, to men, we can't say nothing right there. That's the women got to speak on that. I said, the mother says, once the child is here, it was worth it. Yeah. When we lead someone to Christ and we see the transformation in their lives, we can't help but say, to God be the glory. If you've been a part of helping anybody to come to know Jesus, you can't help but shout and rejoice that they were on their way to hell, now they're on the way to heaven. They were on their way to destruction, now they're on the way to joy. You can't help but just, I mean, we had a little bit to do with it, but it was God who already did all the work. It was Jesus who died and rose, but he gives us a message of reconciliation. He gives us the ministry of reconciliation. He gives us an opportunity to share with others that God loved us so much that he saved us. And if God can save me, he sure enough can save you. But beyond that, we receive eternal rewards for doing his will. I'm going to share this with you in scripture. It says 2 Corinthians 5:1-2. We've been doing all the 2 Corinthians 6:5 earlier. It says, for we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling. 2 Corinthians 5:5-8 says, he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. Now, let me go explain that for a second. He who has prepared us for when we're going to leave here is God. Who has prepared us for when we live on this earth and know that we're in our last days is going to be over, because we never know when we're going to leave here. But he has prepared us to leave here because the presence of his Holy Spirit who lives in us guarantees what's coming when we die. You can die with a smile because you know where you're going. And the Spirit lets you know where you're going. Now, if you don't quite know, hang in here with us. Don't go nowhere. Don't turn. Stay on the channel. If you don't know, know that God loves you so much that he's made provisions for you to go. You can get your ticket to heaven right now. You don't have to cash it in right now, though. Yeah. You can get everything you need to forever be with him. 2 Corinthians 5:5-8 again says, he who prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. I have to always stop there because, you know, we don't really consciously think that, but the word of God is true. When the Spirit has guaranteed where you're going and what's coming going on with you, you would rather be with the Lord throughout eternity than still have to go through everything we go through here. So what happens? He says, we have another building, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. A house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. In other words, we give up this physical life. We give up the life on this side. We give up this existence for even a better life when you know Christ. And guess what? We will live forever in a better place when you know Jesus. I got to throw that in there because that's what this is all about. Now is the day of salvation. I can't guarantee you that if you don't know Jesus, you're going to have a better existence. Flesh, news break. You need to know this. You're going to have an eternal existence regardless. Oh yeah, you're going to be in eternity regardless. Either you have eternal life or eternal death. And we think of death as being final, but no, eternal death means it goes on and on. It means life without God. It means life without peace. It means life without joy. It's excruciating. But God has given us an opportunity to have joy all the days of our eternal life. And listen, we have an opportunity to get rewards. He rewards us on what we have done once we were saved. And the best way to measure the rewards that you get is by how many others you have caused to come to know Christ. You say, well, how, Pastor, how do I get my rewards? I do good works. I do good things. But that's all well and good. But will the work that you do lead others to come to know him? Will the work that you do cause others to say, I need the Lord that you have? And listen, when we go through difficult times, people are watching us go through the difficult times. And when you go through the difficult times and you're praying and others are praying for you and you're able to make it through what you're going through, please don't say you were able to do it because you were so smart. Don't tell them you were able to do it because insurance money really helped you out. Be sure and able to tell them I was able to go through what I went through because of God, the one who loves me and cares for me, the one who was right there holding my hand and guiding my feet, the one who's given me his spirit as a guarantee of what is to come. I know my loved one is okay because they love the Lord. I know I'm okay because I love the Lord. And I know you can be okay because you have an opportunity to love the Lord like I do. That's the message of reconciliation he gives us, a message to tell those who don't know him that you can know him. It's wide open for everybody. Wide open for everybody. Don't even think that somebody or you have done something so bad that God does not love you, God does not care about you. That's a lie straight from the devil himself. God loves us all, and God wants us all to come to know him. We have to make up our mind. God, for you I live, for you I die. We have to make up our mind that we decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. We have decided that God comes first and foremost in our lives, and that we're going to trust him with all of our hearts and lead not to our own understanding. We have to so decide that we'll let others see what we do and hear what we say. And based on how we love and how we care and how we share with others, based on that others would desire to come to know Christ. That's when we get the rewards God calls for us to get. And it says whatever rewards he gives us, we'll have them throughout eternity. We'll have them forever and ever and ever and ever. And I keep telling you all the time, I want you to have whatever and as many rewards as you can get. I want you to do that because one day we all going to leave here. And say, so I don't want to be in heaven with y'all 100 years from now or 120 years from now. Well, let's say 200 years from now. I'll be there up there with y'all and y'all looking at me kind of cross-eyed like, Pastor, why you didn't tell me I could have done more? And I could have had a better mode of transportation. Why you didn't tell me I could have been out calling other people to come to know Christ, and I would have had this. And I don't know what the rewards are, but the Bible clearly says he rewards us based upon the work we have done. And he has gifted us. We all have a gift of the Holy Spirit when we've accepted Christ. He's gifted us so we could do the work for the edifying of the body of Christ. That means to build up the kingdom. He's gifted us for that. So you have the gift to do it. God, listen, God has prepared you to do the work once you have been saved. We've been saved and gifted so we can cause others to be saved. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8 says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. My. Do you know how much God loves us, how much God cares for us? Are you willing to go through something so God could get the glory? Are you willing to put yourself in a position to realize that I'm doing what God has called me to do and I need God to get the glory? Everybody says, I want to be blessed. I want to be blessed. I mentioned this a couple of Sundays ago, and I want to talk about this. I want to be blessed. I want to be blessed. Well, the Bible says in Matthew 5:11, blessed are you when men shall revile you. Blessed are you when men shall persecute you and say all manner of evil against you, false for my sake. Some folk, y'all didn't know y'all were blessed. Yeah, go to Facebook, not on your friend page, but somebody who your friend know. Go on their page and you'll see just how blessed you are. He said, blessed are you when men shall do this thing to you because you're standing up for the cause of Christ. He said, but your response, my response, our response is to rejoice and be glad. Why? Because great is your reward. Your eternal reward for so persecuted than the prophets who came before you. God has a great reward for us when we put ourselves in a position to do his work and his will that he might get the glory. This song closed with this. The song says, am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb, and shall I fear to own his cause or blush to speak his name? Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease while others fought to win the prize and sail through bloody seas? Are there no foes for me to face? Must I not stem the flood? Is this vile world a friend to grace to help me on to God? Says, sure I must fight. If I would reign, increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by your word. The chorus goes, and when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. Yes, we shall wear a crown. Yes, we shall wear a crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. How do we get to wear a crown? We get to wear a crown because of what Jesus did. Not because we've been so good, not because we said the right things, not because we have the right amount of education, but because Jesus, God's son, came through 42 generations. It's because God loved us so much that Jesus came, lived on this earth, went about doing good. They talked about him, ridiculed him, did all sorts of things to him. But he allowed them to do that to him. He's our example of how we ought to live, our example of how we ought to love, our example of how we ought to care, our example of how we ought to forgive. Yes, we have to work through this stuff. Yes, we have to love those who hate us. Yes, we have to do good to those who despise you. Yes, you have to pray for those who despitefully use you. You have to pray. We have to let God move in our lives that he might get the glory. Jesus is our example of that. He allowed them to arrest him, to whip him all night long. He allowed them to put nails in his hands, nails in his feet, a crown of thorns on his head. And on the cross, because he loves you, on the cross, because he loves me, the Bible says he died. But the story doesn't stop there. They placed him in a borrowed tomb. He stayed there all night Friday, stayed there all day Saturday, stayed there all night Saturday. But early on that Sunday morning, he got up with power, power over the grave, victory over death. He ascended into heaven, sent back the Holy Spirit to live in us, to guide us, to direct us, to help us to get to that point where we should wear a crown. And when the battle's over, we should wear a crown. Wear a crown, wear a crown. Wear a bright and shiny crown. When the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. In the new Jerusalem. Can you trust God today? If you're here today and you have not accepted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, we give you an opportunity to say, Lord, I need you in my life. I believe Jesus died for my sins, rose from the grave. I'm willing to trust you all the days of my life. There's a prayer that we'll pray if you have not accepted Christ, that you can accept Christ right now. And as we pray this prayer, if you want to accept him, you do it at home, wherever you are, online, you can do this as well. Let's pray this prayer. Say, Father God, I have sinned. I have not been all I should be. I am sorry for my sins. I want to turn from my sins. I believe in my heart Jesus died for my sins and rose from the grave. I'm willing to trust you, God, all the days of my life. Holy Spirit, come into my life. Help me to be what you want me to be. I will tell others that you saved me. Thank you, God, for saving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you've accepted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, please let us know by responding to the number you see online. If you're here in the building and you want to accept Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, we just ask you come forward, stand with us, and we're going to just give you an opportunity to profess that. If you would like to unite in fellowship with First African Baptist Church, you're already saved. But also as you come down, that we can celebrate with you as you give God your heart. If you're here today, won't you come? Let us remember the NAACP meeting at 4 o'clock. Let us remember to take time to share. We are so grateful again for our baptism and our baby blessing baby on today. We thank God for her. We thank God for every last one of you for your coming to worship today in spirit and in truth. Thank you all for leading us in worship. Thank you for the wonderful job we've done as we recognize the National Women's History Month. And we say to God be the glory. Let us pray. God, we love you, we adore you, we magnify your name. Thank you for the opportunity to come and to worship you in spirit and in truth. We have done as the Lord commanded, but yet there's still room. Bless us as we leave this place, but never your presence. Guide us, direct us, use us, and keep us. Now we ask that the grace of God, the love of Jesus, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit would rest, rule, and abide with us now, henceforth, and forevermore. Let the people of God say amen and praise God. Please be seated.
Remain connected to us as we build God's kingdom together. Join us on Facebook at the historic First African Baptist Church and our website, firstafricanbc.com. You may also contribute through an app called Givelify, Givelify. May God bless you and thank you for worshiping with us.